So I'm speaking to Laura Harvey on the day that it's been announced that she has extended her contract at Seattle Reign FC in the NWSL. Laura, always a pleasure to talk to you. Four more years is what they will be chanting when the season starts up again next year. Talk to us about the new contract and the commitment that you've made to Seattle.
Yeah, well, hi. It's been a while. I think when I came here in 2013, I signed a 3-year deal, and then we extended that to a 4-year deal in the first season. And within a few months of being here, I realised that me and Bill had a very unique and special sort of relationship where we just understood each other, and we had very similar goals and very similar objectives, but also more importantly we sort of looked at the process in a very similar way. So the things that really mattered to me matter to him, and that's enabled us to build the club into what it looks like now. And the things that have been important to us all the way through till now continue to be important, but now we want to try and build on them and keep pushing those forward on and off the field. I think on the field we've obviously built a team around talent, both American and overseas talent. I think we've probably in the last year sort of looked at a lot of some of the American youth talent that's coming through and focused a little bit more on that, and we'll continue to do that, I think. But there's no doubt that, you know, my biggest interest and my biggest probably strength is knowing the players that are overseas that I think could make it in America, and it's not for everybody. I've always said that, and I think me and Bill spoke maybe a month ago about looking to the future of this club and what we want it to look like, and he made it clear to me that he thought I was the right person to push this club forward, and I made it clear that I wanted to be the person to push this club forward. So here we are, a new contract, and I'm excited about the future and what this club could be. And I think I've said this before, my days at Arsenal were fantastic because it was a traditional club that was built on values and had this very long history of success. And Reign now has got some sort of history. It's a short history, but it's a good history, and it's an interesting history, and it's been a road that anyone who's been involved in it, I think, looks at it with a smile on their face, because even though we haven't gained our ultimate goal, we feel like we've been successful in a lot of areas, but we've still got things to work on, and I think that's why I've committed, because I don't feel like the job's done yet.
Were there ever any doubts? I don't think anything could top the difficult first year that you had when you entered the NWSL in 2013, but after two Supporters Shield victories in 2014 and 2015, how difficult has 2016 been on the field? And because of that, was there ever any doubt that this wouldn't be where you wanted to be?
I don't think there was doubt in my mind. You know, you do question yourself. Are the things that you're doing still the right things? I don't think there was a doubt of whether I wanted to be here or not. I don't think that's ever been a doubt in my mind since I came here. It just fit straight away for me, both on and off the field. I love where I live. I've got a great life here, which is I've been really lucky with. But I think two things for me that have sort of changed the dynamic of the club is we went through a really tough time in 13, but we still believed there was something worth fighting for. Worth working for, you know, every day turning up on the training field. It was actually a joy in 2013. There wasn't days ever really where the staff or the players turned up and were like, oh God, you know, this is rough. We've had a rough season. And that, whereas this year, at times there was a little bit of that. I think this year for a lot of players and a lot of staff, it was a lot harder this year than 13. And I think the biggest word I'd use as to why is expectation. The expectation in 13 was drastically lower than the expectations in 16, and that's because of what we'd done in 14 and 15. And I think two things, in my opinion, that accounted for that. I don't think we got pre-season right, in my opinion. And we will definitely look at that. I think pre-season is so short in this league, you have to get it right, and I don't think we did.
How did you not get it right, Laura? How did you not get it right?
I think we sacrificed games for... we sacrificed training for games. Obviously, going down to Portland, it was a great tournament, and it was nothing against, you know, the organisation of the tournament. It just... I don't think it was right for us. Number one, because it just meant we lost a lot of training time that we needed. And we lulled ourselves into a false sense of security. We went down there, we played Portland and Houston. In my opinion, we didn't play very well, and we won. And that, I think that set the tone for the season, if I'm honest. Like, we'd been... there'd been periods in 2014 and 15 where we felt like we didn't play well, and we won. And when you win, it covers the cracks. And I think in 16, we needed to start off very quickly. We needed to start off in a way where we stamped our authority back on the league again, and we didn't do that. And I don't think we recovered from that. I don't think we really recovered from Sky Blue first game of the season. I think it sort of set the tone for us, and we were constantly chasing after that. And I think that's where it just was what it was. And I think there was times in the season where we did gain a little bit of momentum. Boston, you know, we didn't particularly play brilliantly in that game, and there was periods where I thought Boston were going to get back into it, but we won, and in the end won comfortably with a 3-0 victory. But on top of that, we lost Jess for 5 weeks, which is huge for us, you know. So we lose Jess, we then, okay, now we've got to move Kim a little bit deeper and change the way we play a little bit. So we did that and played Kansas, did well. Then, you know, it was like we got momentum and then we couldn't find the consistency. So we'd play well in one game, everyone would talk about it, you know, the media, the players, the fans, they're back. Next week, we'd let ourselves down again. And there was different things that happened. Jesse's injury was big. Manon's injury was big. Obviously, we didn't have Pino all season. Just little things throughout the year where we felt like we had a chance of pushing on and something would happen. We just didn't have enough in us this year to cover those cracks that in years gone by, we'd been able to do that. And I think that's credit to the teams in the league too. I think teams in the league changed the way they play often when they played against us. And it's not a negative on anybody at all, because they did it to beat us. And we have to solve that. And I think more so than ever this year, that happened a lot. Portland, in the four games we played Portland, they probably played four different ways against us to try and beat us. When they had all their players, when they didn't have their players. You know, and credit to Mark, like, in essence, it made it really difficult for us. In the end, we ended up coming out on top on the head-to-head, but that type of thing for us was something that we just couldn't quite get there. And I think it was only until probably... yeah, the break in the Olympics when we came back and then we beat Portland at home, where I really thought that I saw the team that I knew that they were. And, you know, we went to Chicago and we tied 2-2, probably the best performance we've ever played against Chicago. Brilliant, we were great. And then we go to Washington away and, in my opinion, we went back to what some of the things we've been doing earlier on in the season. We weren't as... on top of things as we wanted to be. We weren't keeping the ball the way we should have been. And then we play Washington at home, we're back. You know, it's the team that everyone knows and loves. And I think that inconsistency throughout the season meant that we just couldn't quite get there. And I think, you know, whatever, I could talk forever about all the things that happened to us in the season. Ultimately, we didn't perform well enough, often enough, to get into the top four. That's the reality of it. There's critical moments. Jesse's injury I'll always go back to, and Manon's injury I'll always go back to. The Western New York game away I'll always go back to. Just critical moments in the season where it didn't quite go our way. And that's not me making excuses, because I will be the first to say that we didn't perform well enough this season, and that's why we didn't achieve. But it wasn't for the want of trying, and it wasn't for the want of not trying to work it out. I think there was lots of different things that kept happening and changing that meant that we didn't get the results that we wanted to get.
Well, you mentioned there the game away at Western New York. I know it was one that made headlines, and I know that you obviously weren't very happy afterwards, understandably. Yeah. How much of an impact did that have going forward? Because actually, when I've been talking to, when we were doing a championship preview for the Western New York Flash, they went 7 games without a win after that game.
Yeah.
So it obviously, whether it affected them or how it affected them, I don't know. But in terms of how it affected your team going after that game, what was the effect long term after that one?
I think it's a hard one for me to talk about, if I'm honest. It doesn't sit right with me. I don't think it ever will. And this isn't any knock on Paul or the players in any way, because they did what they needed to do to win the game. But the events surrounding that game, leading up to the game, the fact that the game was played on that field, I think the long-term effect that I was worried about was, you know, what this does to the league. You know, I think it wasn't just our players or people in our team or our organisation who were vocal about what they thought of that situation. And what I do hope long-term happens is it means, A, that never happens again. And we make sure that we put the standards for this league where they should be, which is at the top. And that's everybody. That's not a knock on Western New York. That's something for all of us to push on with. And that's been at the forefront of my belief since I've been here. You know, I want teams to come to Seattle and enjoy their experience while they're in Seattle. Because if a player then ever gets the opportunity to come to Seattle, they'll remember the times that they were there. You know, they will go back and go, oh, if Seattle were to trade for me, I remember going there and, you know, we stayed in a decent hotel and it was in a decent area and we got to train on the field and et cetera, et cetera. And we're not perfect at all, but that's sort of been my belief all the way along, is treat the other teams who come to you in the way that you would want to be treated when you got away. And I think that standard has to be set across the league. And I think we're getting better at it as a group. But I think that game just highlighted that we've got things to work on. And we're not quite there yet. And my hope is that long term, we make sure that that stuff doesn't happen anymore. It just shouldn't happen.
Have you received that reassurance, Laura? I know the league put a statement out saying that it wasn't right and it shouldn't have been given the go-ahead. Have you received since then the reassurance that sort of thing won't happen again?
Verbally, maybe, but we'll find out next year. I think that's the only way. Actions speak louder than words, right? We can all say it wasn't good enough, and we can all say that we want it to be better, but actions speak louder than words. And I think it just has to be. And because that's going to be the difference between us moving this league forward and keep pushing it forward. Because we've made so many unbelievable strides forward that every single person in this league wants this league to be successful and wants it to keep moving forward. And unfortunately, not just here, but even back home, there was a period where people were like, God, how are you dealing with that league? Because all they saw was that field,
yeah.
Because it made the most press, you know, and that upsets me, because I'm thinking that's not what we want the press of this league to be about. We want the press of this league to be about the unbelievable goals that get scored, the championship game where the game's determined in the 124th, 5th minute. And, you know, all that's what you want the game to be about, not to be about that. But that's what people have spoken about. Well, people pick up the phone to me, email me, and I haven't spoken to them for ages. That's the first thing they talk to me about. And it's disappointing, but we have to move forward. It's the only thing we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that there were a lot of difficult things, and we haven't finished with those, unfortunately. But let's talk about some of the positives as well. You had a team that narrowly missed out on the playoffs, and it was very, very narrow, and I'm sure that makes it all the more difficult. But you were able to bring
pretty
in
much that game.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
It wasn't that game, but I can say that to myself.
Absolutely. But you were able to bring back players like Naho Kawasumi, who I know was very popular, and you've seen Merritt Mathias called into the US Women's National Team squad. One thing I'm interested in, moving Merritt to a fullback, and she's actually been called up to the US Women's National Team based on her performances as a fullback. Now, we traditionally have seen her play more as a forward player for you and previous club, FC Kansas City. What was the thinking behind that move, and how pleased were you with how quickly she adapted? Because the games that I saw, she looked really good.
I think Merritt had played there a couple of times for Kansas. She actually played there in the championship game against us in 2014. So I knew she could play there. I think when she went back there, I think her first game was it Portland?
I think it was Portland at home.
Yeah, I thought she was brilliant. I thought she did really, really well in that game. And I think the bit with Merritt that I think really suits her playing there is I think she's good on the ball with the game in front of her. And that's what she'd brought to us higher up the field when the game had been in front of her. She'd been really threatening, and she's obviously very quick and very powerful, which helps. And then I think the only thing that, you know, she wants to work on and we need to work on with her is just the defensive side of the game. You know, it's not that she can't do it, because she can. It's just that she hasn't played there that often to be in good habits all the time there. You know, and I think there's a couple of instances where she did really well defensively, and Portland was a really good example of that. And then obviously, you know, like the little penalty giveaways and those types of things where someone playing there for the first time in 2 years, you can't knock them for that. But that's something on her game she just has to keep improving on. And I think that's just what we have to keep working on with her. But overall, yeah, I was really happy with her performances. I thought she did really well. And whatever, I was really pleased for her that she got a call up to the national team off the back of those performances.
And talk about Manon Mellis, it's sometimes not easy for international players to come in. I spoke to Manon, I did a season preview of Seattle before the campaign began, and Manon said that she was so keen to make an impact in the US. That was a factor in her making the announcement that she'd retired from international football. That must have been pleasing for you as a coach who's just brought a new player in, that they've shown that sort of commitment, but also what she was able to produce on the pitch when she was available as well.
Yeah, I think I say this all the time. You can't judge the foreign player off Kim and Jess. They're a little bit of an anomaly where they come in and they absolutely smash it from day one. I think you saw with Naho, she did really well at the start too. And some adapt a lot quicker than others, right? And I think with Manon, the game in Sweden is so different to here. And I just remember her after every game, after every training session, just being like, oh my God, this is crazy. It's so quick. It's so feisty. It's so transitional. And I'm like, yeah, this is welcome to America. This is what it is, you know? And I said this a couple of weeks back to somebody where the injury that Manon got, I mean, the fact her and Jess got exactly the same injuries, which was such unique injuries, but the pair of them got exactly the same, was so weird. And that injury for her came at just the time where she was finding her feet. And whatever, it knocked her back. I think she was off the field for 5-6 weeks, I think. But I think you saw towards, you know, the back end of the season, July, August, September, into September, I think she showed what she can do. She's a goal scorer. She can score goals. And she was so threatening at the start of games. I mean, Chicago away, she could have had 3 goals in the first 15 minutes. And, you know, that's that's not very us either. You know, it's not very Seattle Reign. We do well when we score early, but we don't tend to score numerous goals early on in games. And she gave us that threat, which was great. And I thought she progressed really, really well throughout the season. I thought she did a brilliant job adapting her game after it being so surprising, I think, for her, how quick it was and how transitional it was early on.
And she's a quick player herself, isn't she? So for her I guess in the Swedish league, she's probably bombing past people. In the US, there are people who are going to keep up with her.
The biggest thing here as well is it's like, you know, for someone like her who's a forward, you give the ball away in Sweden and often it's still possession based, so they'll keep it, they might go back to the goalkeeper, they might keep the ball and, you know, not play too quickly. Whereas here, you lose the ball, they could be in your goal in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And she was just like, whoa, because I'm obviously, when she loses the ball, I'm like, come on, man, get it back. And she's just like, what is going on? This is crazy. So I think that was a big learning curve for her. And, you know, for someone at her age, doing what she's already done in her career, it was great that she took that on, that challenge on of learning and developing her game even more than what she did already. I thought it was great.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about learning curves. I'm trying to kind of mix the interview up a little bit with the positives and maybe some of the things that are a little bit more difficult. I'm sure this season has been a learning curve for you overall, because you will have encountered things that maybe you haven't in the past. Certainly your days at Arsenal Ladies were, I'm sure, lacking in controversy or lacking in kind of issues that were making headline news. But obviously one of the things that occurred was when Hope was out of the Olympics and obviously had that game against Sweden where she made some comments afterwards, which she rightfully apologised and I'm sure regretted not long afterwards. But it resulted in a ban from US soccer, and obviously it meant that she missed the end of the season with Seattle. I mean, it's a difficult one, I'm sure, for you, because I know that you're a manager and a head coach that players respect, and I know you have a fantastic relationship with them as well. But how have you found the Hope Solo situation, and can you give any insight into what might happen moving forward with her future at Seattle?
Well, I think obviously, the decision to first Hope to have her contract terminated and to have the suspension was a US soccer decision. And I think off the back of that decision, I'm not sure the part that maybe everybody thought about was, you know, as Hope as the person, what effect that was going to have on her. And I think she found that out on the Wednesday, and we were playing Portland on the Saturday. So between those days, the conversation that me and Hope had, and I probably saw her or spoke to her multiple times a day in that period, was, you know, are you okay to be able to put 100% on the field? And what she was very conscious of and what I was very conscious of was we were in a very tough position as a club at that point. We needed, in our eyes, we needed to win 5 games to get into the playoffs, and Portland being the first one of those. So we didn't want to put Hope in a position where she felt pressured to come back if she didn't feel that she was in the best place, whether mentally, physically, to be able to perform. And I think that was one of the big reasons why she didn't play in the Portland game, and she had some of the family stuff going on in that week too. And then after the Portland game, we spoke again quite a lot over the next couple of days about, you know, okay, we couldn't get you there for the Portland game. How are you feeling now? And I think ultimately, the comment the statement Hope came out with was exactly how it was. There was nothing around it. It was she was devastated. She was just devastated, and she couldn't mentally get past that. And I just felt it wasn't my place, really, or anybody else's place to tell her that she had to play, because I don't think you'd have got the best out of her either. And then obviously following that, she's had major shoulder surgery, which she could or should maybe have had a long time ago, but has played through it, played through the pain for a long, long time. So the question about what happens next is a little bit in the balance, I think. And it will go. It will be the same questions that get asked. You know, number one, how's your shoulder? Can you physically do it? And secondly, you know, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? What's next for you? And that's always how I've been. Like, I'm always going to be the same. And ultimately, having hope and the club at the forefront of all the decisions that we make. And I think that's why I will always have a. Whatever, I think I'll always have a good relationship with Hope, because for me, the way I was willing to have the conversation with her was about, what do you want to do? You know, do you want to play? Because if Hope says she wants to play, she's been through adversity enough in her career and come through it and shown unbelievable performances. But the time she was hesitant around that made me just think, I'm not sure she can push through this one. I'm just not sure she can. And that's ultimately where her decision came from, I think. I think the word I always used to everybody was, she was devastated. She was just devastated. So,
but ultimately, you know, you want her back next year. If she's available and she's happy, you want her between the pipes in Seattle.
If Hope's physically, I mean, the shoulder surgery is huge. Like, it's... I'm not sure the recovery time would be for the start of the season. I'm not exactly sure. But yeah, it's a little bit up in the air, and I think the Hope being on the field, fit, healthy, 100%, really wanting to be in it. And you were right, I think she spoke today. I mean, she still sees Seattle Reign as her team, and we don't want that to change. As long as... Even if it's not even in a playing capacity, I'd love to keep Hope around our club. I think her ability, number one, her attitude, her professionalism around the team, our team, has been unbelievable. And the advice and leadership she's shown to Hayley and to all the other players would be something that I think is valuable. The door's always open for Hope, I think, is the best line. But we've just got to be very careful about if it's the right thing for her. Because I think for me now, with the shoulder surgery she's had, it's number one, can she keep playing on it? And number two, if you do play on it, is that going to affect your later life? Because the surgery she's had is a big one. And I think that's going to be, whatever, me caring about Hope as a person, is that the right thing for her long term, so that she, after she stops playing, she can still lift her arm above her head, which she hasn't been able to do for years. So having this surgery was a reason to be able to do that. So
okay, all right, well, I mean, it's a fair assessment, and obviously we'll see how that one pans out. I mean, one player that won't be available next year, I know you're very, very fond of her, very close to her. Obviously, the news came out in the last 24 hours that Kim Little has returned to Arsenal Ladies. I mean, you used the word devastated for Hope. I'm sure that one wasn't an easy one, but I know deep down that you wish her well. And just talk about that one, Laura, because I know she's a big loss for the club.
Yeah, I mean, Kim, I've worked with Kim now. I think we had one season apart in 2013 since 2008 to 8 years, maybe. I think the positives about Kim is she came here wanting to be something that she didn't believe she was going to be able to be staying in England, and she achieved it. She became one of the best players in the world. And I think everybody who'd seen her play prior to coming to the Reign believed she was that and believed she could be that. And then she came here and just tore the book up. She made mine and Bill's dreams for this club a reality. Because we believed that we were close to something special in 2013. We believed that. We knew we were, you know, the points didn't say that, But if you go back in 13 and look at the games, there were certain games where we just weren't just quite there. We just weren't quite there. And there's no doubt Kim was a major factor in turning that around. And I think she said it. She's taken a lot of the glory, which maybe in back home she didn't get as much glory as what she could have done. But I believe playing for Seattle Reign has changed Kim's career for the rest of her life. And that's something I'll be really proud of, is the decision she made, which was a risk, I think, at the time, obviously with the 2013 season that we had, was a life-changing one for Kim. Life-changing one. And, you know, I'm really proud of her for that, because she's worked really, really hard over 3 years to develop her game, push her game on. I think she has openly admitted that this is the best league in the world for that. If you want to push your game on and you want to develop and you want to be the best player you can be, come here and try and push yourself to be that. And she's done that. She's done it. And, you know, I think for a lot of players, I think I always knew Kim would go home. And home is Arsenal. I think I always knew that. And I'm pleased for that. I'm pleased for them. Because I think they invested a lot in her when she was younger. And in a weird way, it's like we've taken her and helped her develop a little bit. And I hope they reap the rewards of that. I really do. I hope Arsenal can get back onto the top of the table where, you know, when I left, there was no club competing with Arsenal ever. We weren't going to be touched. And I think Arsenal want to get back to that. So I'm pleased for them that they've been able to make a signing that can help them do that. And, you know, I think it was going to take something big for Kim to leave Reign. And, you know, I think Arsenal's been able to match that.
Okay. Well, it opens up opportunities for others. And I saw an article that I'm sure you saw by 442 USA saying, can Kim Little be replaced? And I saw Jess Fishlock reply to that saying, adapt. You don't replace, you adapt. Now, absolutely. Now, you've just signed a four-year contract, as we discussed at the beginning of this interview. So I'm sure Reign fans will be interested to hear not what your plans are in terms of trying to replace Kim, but maybe your plans in terms of what you'd like the team to look like next year. Because you talked about how teams changed the way they played against you this year. Uh-huh. Do you foresee maybe a change of style for you guys next year?
Well, I think, you know, it's not just Kim we're replacing, right? We're replacing the glue, Keelan, who probably didn't get hardly any of the credit from Kim or Jess because she was surrounded by those two that definitely take some of the headlines. But she'll be a big miss too, and I think that's exciting to me. Me and Jess had a long chat the other day over coffee and putting the world to rights as we do, where, you know, I said to her, like, how exciting is it that you're going to have a midfield that is going to be so different, you know, and who knows what it's going to look like. I think we have options within the squad currently. Rumi Utsugi, who came to us as a holding mid and a left back, obviously helped us fill the position of left back while Carson was still developing, is now an option centrally, and we did that often in games late for Rumi, who I think is a fantastic player, and so glad she's committed to the club for next season. We've also got two really high draft picks, the number 3 and the number 6, and I'm renowned for not being a true lover of the draft, but I would say from what I've seen and what I know, which I'm never going to say I'm the greatest in knowledge in terms of college soccer, but I'm gradually getting there now in my fourth year of understanding how this crazy world works. I truly believe this is one of the highest levels of draft talent that we've had in the league. I think 2015 obviously was a very high level of draft ability through multiple levels of picks, and I think this is probably up there with the deepest draft we have. I think even going into the third, fourth round, there'll be players that come out of it that can and will make teams, which is tough. But I think that's the standard that some of these kids are at. So I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited at the prospect of getting some fantastic footballers that can fit the way that we play. I don't think the essence of who we are will change. I don't think that, but you know, I think the way Jess put it is exactly right. I think you got to adapt. If you try and find Kim, you'll be let down. But if you try and find something that can work around that, you know, maybe we change shape a little bit. Maybe we look at different things. I'm just really excited about the prospect of that. Because I do think we'd become a little bit comfortable. You know, I think this team had, the core of the team had been together, and a lot of the team had been together for nearly 3 years. And, you know, I think, you know, that midfield, as fantastic as it is, or was, had been together for 3 years. They'd pretty much played every single game, bar injury. They'd been the three. So if you're a team playing Seattle Reign, we didn't make it hard to work out what we were going to do. Whereas now, whoever plays his first game of the season is not going to know what we're going to do, which I love. I love that. I love that thought. I think that's great. So yeah, I'm really excited about it, actually.
Well, you mentioned Keelan. She was your captain, fantastic. I'm sure you're not going to tell me here and now, but in your head, do you know who is going to be leading out the team next season?
Yeah, I've got an idea, yeah. And no, I'm not going to tell you.
I didn't think you would. I didn't think you would. Well, let's round off, Laura, because it wasn't an easy season. We've talked about some of the things that happened off the field, some of the things we haven't discussed, but I don't think they're for maybe you and I to get our head around. But that contract, obviously, it's a big commitment from yourself. I mean, what's the word you would kind of say to Reign fans who are listening in terms of what they can expect next year and the sort of things they can look forward to next year?
Well, I think we always want to put a product on the field that we're proud of. I think that is the core of who we are. I think when we've played games and won, but we don't feel like we've played well, I think we come away disappointed. And I think when we put the product on the field that we're really, really proud of, 9 times out of 10 results take care of themselves with that. So I'm excited to be able to develop this group, bring in a couple of new faces to really challenge the core that we have, to challenge them to be better, to challenge myself to be better, but ultimately keep the real essence of who we are, Seattle Reign, and put that product on the field and be proud of it every single day. And I think when we do that, we have the best time ever. It's the greatest job in the world. And I think the players love to be around it and just are enthused to turn up to training every day. And that's what I want Reign fans to know and believe, is that even though we were disappointed this season, there's not one day that we don't turn up and strive to try and be better. And that's going to be the essence of what makes us push back into where we want to be next season.
Well, I think perfect way to end it there, Laura. You and I have spoken on many an occasion, and one thing I always admire is your honesty and insight. Wish you the very best for the off-season. Get your feet up, enjoy the break that you have now, getting ready for the draft, which obviously takes place in January in Los Angeles. So I may well see you out there, but until then, thanks as always for your time.